Do you want to keep up with what's going on in the world of pop culture? Do you want to earn nerd credit with all your friends at work? Well, sit down, get comfortable, and let's watch This Week in Nerd.
Hey, listen!
Get nerdy with me. Tell me what. Starting off with a little bit of sad news, the creator of SpongeBob SquarePants, Steven Hillenburg, died this week at the age of 57. What a lot of people don't know is this dude had a couple of different degrees. He graduated from Humboldt State University in 84 with a bachelor's degree in natural resource planning and interpretation. He was working at Orange County Marine Institute. He got the idea that he wanted to start doing some animation, so he went back and said, hey, you know what, I'll just get another degree. In 87, he pursued his degree in experimental animation at the California Institute of Arts in Valencia, and he earned his Master's of Fine Arts in 92. Quite an accomplishment. I mean, the dude was very educated. You wouldn't think that watching SpongeBob SquarePants, but yeah, I mean, he had multiple degrees, and he invented SpongeBob SquarePants for us. So, rest in peace, Mr. Hillenburg, and thank you for bringing SpongeBob SquarePants to us. Okay, everybody knows Netflix will make a TV series out of anything. Well, lately they've been canceling stuff. We'll talk about that later. But they'll make a series out of anything. And I believe they just ordered some episodes for Avatar: The Last Airbender. So they're getting more into the anime now of making those series. They just got another one, man. They picked up Cowboy Bebop. They're going to be making a live-action adaption of Cowboy Bebop. It says here they're ordered for 10 episodes, straight-to-series live adaption. If you're not familiar with Cowboy Bebop, it's one of the more prominent animes out there. These intergalactic bounty hunters basically go around and save your world for the right price. This could go well or this could go really, really bad. Honestly, I've kind of liked the live action ones. I liked Death Note and I liked Full Metal Alchemist, the live actions. I don't know a whole lot about Cowboy Bebop, but I think they can make this work in a Firefly kind of way. Can't wait to see what they do with this. They are making so many of these adaptions now. I don't have a date when this is going to be available for you yet. Netflix is going to roll it out, and if they do like they always do, there'll be the whole 10 episodes at once so you can marathon watch it. They'll probably be half-hour episodes, so it shouldn't take long. You can do it in a weekend. Get your Cowboy Bebop fix along with the anime. If you're not familiar with it, now's a great time to go back and watch the Cowboy Bebop anime and get caught up. And while we're on anime, this next one is it makes sense after I hear it, but I would have never thought of it beforehand. Adult Swim and Crunchyroll are going together to make a Blade Runner anime. Yeah, I didn't think about it, but you know, the whole Blade Runner story lends itself very well to anime in my mind. This Denis Villeneuve, who is the Blade Runner director guy, he has said they optioned three stories that were supposed to take place between 2019, when the original Blade Runner takes place, and Blade Runner 2049, which is the newest movie they put out. One of these was done by Mr. Watanabe. It's Blade Runner 2022. I believe it's called Blackout. I watched it a little earlier. It's really not bad. It was pretty good. So those three stories, if you Google them, I'm sure you can find them somewhere online. This anime series, though, is going to be called Blade Runner Black Lotus. Takes place in 2032, so it's before the events of 2049. You're likely to see some of the characters you know making appearances in this anime, which is really cool. Like I said, Shinichiro Watanabe, I'm probably butchering the name, is going to be the creative producer on this series. The guy is great with anime. Can't wait. The Blade Runner story is just... I love the whole Blade Runner universe. They had said that they were going to be expanding the Blade Runner universe, and we haven't seen that until now. I mean, they did a comic book that just didn't really take off. We haven't seen any television or animes until this one. There will be 13 half-hour episodes. They're going to air on Adult Swim. Adult Swim is going to maintain the worldwide distribution rights for the English dubbed versions, which means, in my mind, means they're looking at pushing it out in other countries also. So, you know, the Blade Runner universe is getting ready to expand again. We're going to get a little more backstory since this is kind of a prequel to 2049, but a sequel to 2019. Kind of weird in the timeline there. I believe Watanabe is going to do a good job with this. I can't wait to see it myself. I love all the Blade Runner stuff, so let's hope that they do this one justice. It seems lately the trend is for them to take old cartoons and turn them into live-action shows. We've seen that already with, you know, Jungle Book. They're doing Dumbo. They're doing Lion King. It's just like they're going back to the old Disney catalog and saying, hey, let's make this live action. Well, they pulled another one out, Pinocchio. They're going to be making a live action Pinocchio. And before you guys start screaming, I don't know if it's going to be CGI'd like Lion King, because there's that big controversy. Is it really live action if it's CGI'd like that? I don't know. All I know is they've pulled a big name as Geppetto. Tom Hanks will be playing Geppetto. Yeah, it says here Tom Hanks is going to portray Geppetto. It doesn't say he's going to voice Geppetto. So I'm thinking, hopefully, it's going to be more live action than CGI. Although, I don't know how they're going to do that. Pinocchio will likely be CGI'd as a wooden puppet. It's from the same guys who directed Paddington and Paddington 2, so we're going to get a mix of live action and CGI is my guess. I'm reserving my thoughts on this until I find out more. I was really kind of against Jungle Book until it came out and I watched it, and I'm a fan now. I really liked Jungle Book. I'm anxious, cautiously optimistic about Dumbo and Lion King. We will see. The Lion King, I mean, don't get me wrong, the CGI looks amazing. I just hope it's not a scene for scene retelling. Maybe, you know, change it a little bit. Jungle Book, they changed it a little bit. I didn't mind that. Let's hope they give us a really good story with Pinocchio. I told you guys before, Chilling Adventures of Sabrina is a must-watch on Netflix. You got to watch this. This is not your father's Sabrina. This is not... There's no laugh track. You won't catch a laugh track in this. Sabrina, it's dark. The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina is dark. It deals with a lot of the Satanism part of witches. They don't sugarcoat anything. In fact, when she goes to the witching school, there is a statue of Baphomet there, their god. They got sued by the Church of Satan. Not the Satanic Temple, the Church of Satan. Satanic Temple said, hey, we have no problem with it. In fact, they even said the Church of Satan pulls these childish pranks all the time to get notoriety. Which is basically what it is, that they're suing Netflix and Sabrina for $50 million for use of their statue resemblance of Baphomet. Shut up. I mean, come on, guys. It's a freaking statue. It looks similar to it, but it's a freaking demon. They're all going to look alike. It's a goat-headed demon. How much different can it be? I'm not sure. I had read somewhere that this thing had been settled. I don't know. It must have been because they have announced season 2. That's right, season 2, April 5th, 2019. That's a pretty quick turnaround. When it came out, you know, I gave it a try on the first one. I was like, yeah, you know what? There's nothing else on my DVR. The previews looked all right. I watched it, couldn't stop, man. I just boom, 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 binged it all the way till the wee hours of the morning. I've been telling everybody I can think of, they need to watch it. A lot of them are turned off because they remember Sabrina the Teenage Witch from earlier on TV, which was nothing but stupid jokes and laugh tracks. And don't worry about it, man. This one is much dark. If you like dark macabre stuff, you're going to like American Horror Story. I kind of put it in the same vein as that. You need to watch this show, man. Especially with season 2 coming up April 5th. You're going to, if you watch it all now, you'll be done in time to catch season 2 and binge watch that one. The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina is set in the same universe as Archie. In the comics, they are known, they know of each other. And they said that they have not ruled out a crossover between Riverdale and Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. And if you've watched Riverdale, that's a lot darker storytelling than what you see in the Archie comics also. So I think that would be a great crossover, even if it's just they see each other in passing, just little cameos. What have you. I really am looking forward to where they're going to be taking Riverdale and Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. Okay, let's talk some Walking Dead. Everybody wants to bury this show now. Oh, you know, oh, it's dying. It's no good anymore. It's still pulling, you know, 7-8 million viewers per episode. That's, in my mind, that's not bad. I mean, it's way down from their heyday. But come on, man. There's shows out there with a lot less viewers that are still on the air. I agree there was a little lull in the story there for a while. But now that Rick is gone and they've jumped ahead in time a few years, I think 5-6 years, and you're seeing how everything has played out, I'm starting to get back on board with it. So are a lot of other people. If you've been watching it, you've noticed Daryl, after Rick Grimes supposedly dies, disappears, to the people in Walking Dead, they don't know that Rick is actually still alive, but us as viewers know that he is, because, you know, they took him off in the helicopter. And so the helicopter people, we don't know much about. And I'll talk about those guys later. Daryl took off. You know, he kind of lost it. Him and Rick were best buds. He kind of lost it. He's been out in the woods. You come to find out he's got a dog now. And his dog helps him do a lot of stuff. He's very close with this dog. He's trained to do quite a bit of things. There's a petition for them to not kill the dog like they did Shiva, Ezekiel's tiger. They've got over 50,000 signatures on this petition to save a TV character dog. That's pretty amazing. And in fact, they've even changed their little chant now from "If Daryl dies, we riot" to "If the dog dies, we riot." Honestly, I watch it. The dog really, I don't think it adds a lot to the story. I'm not attached to the dog. I'm glad Daryl's got a dog to talk to in the show. I'm not attached to this dog. You know, they could kill that dog off and it wouldn't bother me one bit. I don't think it would change the story. Obviously, 50,000 people disagree with me, so they're probably not going to. The showrunners have said that they don't think they want to kill the dog off. But, you know, if their viewership goes down enough and they start losing sponsors, they'll do something to grab people's attention, to get more views again. And if that's killing the dog, maybe they kill the dog. I don't know. We'll see. So, yeah. The dog on Walking Dead, not a big popular character with me, but I am in the minority. Everybody else seems to love that damn dog. Talking to Rick Grimes, as I told you, spoilers if you haven't watched it, he doesn't die when the bridge blows out and that big wave of the river washes him away. You see that Jadis is connected to the helicopter people some way, shape, or form. She gets them to come and pick her and Rick up and take him away. They've revealed they have plans for at least three Rick Grimes made-for-TV movies. They have said Rick is not going to appear back on Walking Dead. So it's probably not going to be him coming back to see the group of survivors he was with. It's likely going to be something to do with his new life now with this helicopter group. Maybe we'll find out more about them in this television show. Maybe that's some way for them to give us information about this helicopter community without using Walking Dead to do it. They'll do it as a separate movie or series of three movies. I don't know. I'm kind of hoping that's what it is, because they've teased this freaking helicopter community for a while. How in the hell are these guys keeping these things flying? They take a lot of maintenance. They take a lot of fuel. You've got to have the expertise to be able to fly. Helicopter's not easy to fly, guys. I've tried it. Simulators, of course. And yeah, I mean, it's a lot harder than even flying an airplane. It's pretty difficult. So these guys are highly trained, and at least they have the resources to keep these things flying. They're keeping all the communication stuff working because they're using all the walkies and the radios to talk to everybody. I don't really even have a guess about the movies that are actually, that is my guess. It's going to be the helicopter community with Rick Grimes. They're going to be starting that next year, 2019, for production is when it's going to start. I don't know when it's going to air. Hopefully sooner rather than later, so we can find out what's going on with Rick. Walking Dead, they've expanded. I mean, you've seen Fear the Walking Dead. It kind of started out a little slow, started out L.A. So you know, the U.S., all of the U.S. is pretty much consumed by this zombie outbreak. There's always been that question of, are other countries affected by this also? Well, they're going to write a novel that answers that. The Walking Dead Typhoon is covering the zombie apocalypse in China. If you haven't looked at a census lately, there's billion plus people in China. That's a lot of people that are potential zombies, and wow. but China is a big country, and there's a lot of wilderness out there without people in it. So if they stayed away from the cities, maybe they'll be okay, but they're still going to be wandering hordes. Those zombies are going to leave the city. As you know, they're attracted by noise. So yeah, I'm kind of interested to see this novel. It's supposed to come out sometime in 2020. Walking Dead Typhoon, the zombie apocalypse in China. The big cities like Beijing and Hong Kong, they're so packed. That'd be like, thinking about New York City. New York City during the freaking zombie apocalypse must just be crawling with zombies. You don't want to be in a big city when the zombie apocalypse is going on. So, yeah, like I said, get that. You'll be able to see what's going on over in China with the zombies. I guess there was one other one called The Alien. It was a one-shot comic story written by Brian K. Vaughan, who was a great writer. If you don't believe me, read Saga. Centered around Rick Grimes' brother in Barcelona, Spain. I haven't read that one myself, but Barcelona is not nearly as densely populated as any of the big cities in China. Walking Dead Typhoon, coming out in 2020, one shot. Pick it up. Got some Star Wars news for you. I've been hyping up The Mandalorian. It's going to be on, unfortunately, on the Disney Plus streaming service. I told you Jon Favreau is directing it, and I told you Disney is just throwing a boatload of money at this thing to make it work. It's set before Force Awakens, but after, the first trilogy of Star Wars. So you're likely not going to see Jango or Boba. This is one of the other Mandalorians. They've only announced a few. Like, I think Pedro Pascal is going to be in there from Game of Thrones. I believe he's in the second Kingsman also. They've announced some other, or actually the one I'm focusing on, Nick Nolte. Crazy-haired Nick Nolte. Now, if they bring Nick Nolte from 48 Hours in, I can deal with that. If they bring in Nick Nolte from recent times, It could be crazy. Nick Nolte's a great actor. It doesn't say who he's going to play. We probably won't know any of the characters. It's probably going to be all new characters in here. Like I said, we're going to have to wait. Damn you, Disney, and your streaming service. You're making me open my wallet again. Between Disney and DC and Netflix, I'm just going to be broke. So yeah, 2019, Disney's streaming service, Disney Plus, you're going to get The Mandalorian, you're going to see Pedro Pascal, more importantly, you're going to see Nick Nolte in some capacity. So you're going to get your Star Wars fix right there. Speaking of Netflix and streaming services, let's talk about the elephant in the room. Netflix is just canceling all the Marvel shows they have. They canceled Luke Cage and Iron Fist, which I can kind of understand because I believe they were had lower viewership than the others, even though they had respectable amount of views. I guess it wasn't enough for them. They just canceled Daredevil, who came off of its best season, third season. Great show. I mean, and they've canceled it. They say they still have, you know, plans for Jessica Jones and The Punisher. I don't hold much faith in that, man. You're probably going to see another month or two. They're going to announce that they canceled both of those, too. I don't know if this is Netflix canceling them or if Marvel is pressuring them. Marvel doesn't like anybody else to make money off their characters, which is why we haven't seen Fantastic Four in such a long time. Or Wolverine, you know, they kept Wolverine dead for so long. So I don't know if there is an attempt to bring it back under their own umbrella. But I've read a couple articles online saying Disney said they have no plans to pull these guys under their own streaming service, which I don't understand why not. They've announced there's going to be a Loki series and I believe a Scarlet Witch series. It would seem like a no-brainer to me to pull these guys under the Disney Plus. Or maybe they just don't want to pay the big salaries these guys are getting now. I don't know. But you'd think it would make more sense to keep these guys under your own streaming service. And people are watching them, man. People are watching these shows. So you put your best story writers on them and put it under your own streaming service. But Disney said they don't have plans for that. Netflix hasn't said why they cancel them. They just cancel them. And like they still have agreements. Agreements. I don't know if that translates to contract or if it's something that's still in negotiations. But they're saying third season of Jessica Jones and second season for Punisher is coming. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I think Marvel is cutting ties with Netflix. I think Netflix was their proof of concept. They said, hey, let's see if this works. We'll let Netflix carry the bill. It did work, and it did well for them. And now they're cutting it. So, it's a sad day. Yeah, like I said, Daredevil. No more Luke Cage. No more Iron Fist. No more Daredevil. My money's on you're going to see Jessica Jones and Punisher get cut here soon also. And Netflix is going to start going more with their own original content. So come on, Marvel. Pick these titles up. Put it under the Disney Plus. Okay, comic books. Let's talk about comic books. I only really have one I wanted to tell you about. If you read Nightmare Batman, you know, Dark Knight's Metal, the most popular, you know, arguably the most popular Nightmare Batman was the Batman Who Laughs, which is the alternate universe Batman who mixed with, he got the Joker serum somehow in his blood, where he basically became a Batman Joker. Evil dude. I mean, this guy, Batman Who Laughs was the one who was plotting and scheming. And I mean, if you put Batman or Bruce Wayne's intellect in there with Joker's scheming ability, you know what's going to happen. He basically killed everybody in his own universe. He's now in ours. Read Dark Knight's Metal. I don't want to spoil that for you, but yeah, he's in our universe now. he's getting his own comic book, which goes to tell you how popular he is. You're not seeing any of the other Nightmare Batman get theirs. They are putting out no less than 14 variant covers for Batman Who Laughs number one. They're pulling big names for this. I mean, we're looking at Jock, Capullo, Martina Sienkiewicz, Kirkham, Desjardins, Delotto, Tony Daniel. All these guys are going to be making variant covers for this Batman Who Laughs. I'm not against variant covers per se. I am against the proliferation of way too many variant covers. I mean, do we really need 14 plus variant covers for any comic? These variant covers, man, they're killing the industry, because if you're a big variant collector, you come in and and Batman Who Laughs, who has 14 plus, and and this is not a rare occurrence. A lot of these get launched with multiples into the double digits of variants. You come in and you love Batman. You love this Batman Who Laughs character. You love variants. You go, oh, I want to get as many of the variants as I can. You're looking at least, I mean, these things are at least $3.99 and sometimes as much as $4.99 if your local comic shop doesn't up the price, depending on how hard it was for them to get that variant. You know, when the more rare variants, you can pay upwards, you know, 20, 30, up, you know, a couple hundred bucks, depending on how rare they are. But let's just say the $3.99 covers, you come in, hey, I want to get, you know, these four covers to Batman Who Laughs. Number one, they're $3.99 a piece. Okay, well, you're going to get one anyway. There's extra three. If you're on a limited budget, you have to cut three books off of your list somewhere to make up for that, or skip lunches or something. I mean, these variants are really hitting people in the wallet. I like the variants, maybe one or two off of a big launch, something like this, or, you know, a big event going on, maybe have one or two variants. But man, DC and Marvel are just crazy on these variants. It's not good for the consumers' wallets. Although it is a short-term gain for DC and Marvel, in the long term, I think they're hurting themselves, because then it takes away from people being able to buy other titles. That's why a lot of these other titles are just not making it past, you know, issue 20 or so. So mixed feelings about it. I don't know. I think they're doing it the wrong way. But hey, if you are into variants, you're in heaven. And if you got disposable income to buy all these, good on you, man, because it adds up. You're talking about, I'm not good at math, but 14 times $3.99 is a lot. And that's just the ones that have been announced. They're still counting and adding on to that list. So yeah, Batman Who Laughs, number one, comes out December 12th. At least 14 titles or variants. This one's actually going to be $4.99, so you might as well say $5 a shot. So you're looking at over $50, you know, $50-$60 just for the ones they've announced. That's one comic, all variants. And it's a six-issue mini-series. I got to think they're not going to make as many variants for the number 2 through 6, but they're still going to make at least a handful. I hope this variant craze kind of dies down before they collapse the freaking market and anybody can only afford to buy one or two titles. And this is a little bit bigger too. It's 32 pages. Yeah, I'm at my wit's end on this one. Anyway, like I said, December 12th, Batman Who Laughs, number one. If nothing else, you can get the regular cover and then spend your money on other titles. Or if you just care about collecting all the variants, start saving up. As always, I want to thank you guys for watching this video. Press that bell icon and get notified anytime I upload a new video. For my auditory-only friends, you can subscribe to me on your podcast platform of choice. I will see you next week. Later, nerds. Get nerdy with me. Tell me what game that you get on. Is it COD or Reef? What kind of class do you play, girl? In an RPG.